You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning, folks.
Morning, Dan and Danette.
Morning.
Here we are, another day, another Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to watch, Peacock.
Peacock. I like the way you say Peacock.
If you want to listen later, download the podcast.
Download.
But right now, 3 hours live of the best sports talk on the air. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
Hope you'll miss us.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
Don't see another radio show behind my back, please.
And filling in, it's Doug Gottlieb and Rob Parker.
It's good.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is the Dan Patrick Show.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio, presented by Mercedes AMG Driving Performance. Dennis Lynn will join us in 20 minutes. He covers the Padres. Some NBA players, or especially star players, are hesitant to take the vaccine. We'll have, an interesting discussion. Will Blackman's going to join us next hour. He's also the NFL's wine guy. Not a complaining
from NFL
players.
Have you had some of his stuff?
No. No, I've heard him talk about
it.
I have.
Yeah. It's pretty
his
good.
His stuff, by stuff you mean wine?
Yeah, it's wine. Yeah.
But I don't think anybody who, like, wine is a little bit, I mean, it's above my pay grade. I'm not in your tax bracket,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
But I don't think people call wine stuff.
Stuff.
Have you tried this stuff? This stuff is amazing. This is good. I'm kidding, of course. Okay. So I saw this story and I saw your reaction. By the way, if you like us, this is cool because Rob has The Odd Couple. He and Chris Broussard, awesome show, starts at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, your iHeart Radio app. And I have the Doug Gottlieb Show. It's 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific. Same deal. So there's other places you can, and I saw a little blurb about your rant. So Tim Tebow retires from baseball, and it wasn't a complete disaster. He's just not a major league player. Sports are hard. He never gets to the bigs. Now, part of it is they have new ownership. I think they want to legitimize themselves, and they felt like it was a dog and pony show. But nonetheless, Tim Tebow calls it a day in the minor leagues. What's your reaction, Rob?
Yeah, I think Tim Tebow's career, just sports career, was a bust when you look at it. Nobody, Doug, got more play, pub, and love and did as little with it. And what I mean is the NFL, he's drafted in the first round. Denver gives up 3 picks to Baltimore. Other general managers and people are shaking their heads. They can't believe what Denver did to draft Tim Tebow 25th in the first round. What they saw that other people didn't see. And you got to remember, Josh McDaniels, John Elway, you know, these people were like, Josh McDaniels swore by Tim Tebow, who, and I'm talking about NFL guys, not me, who watched his practices and questioned whether he could make a 15-yard pass consistently in the NFL. Couldn't throw the football. And wound up people being, you know, going gaga. It didn't matter what the situation was or the game. They like him, and I get it. And even the baseball, he didn't even deserve that opportunity. The Mets had, you said it, dog and pony show. They thought they maybe could make some money off of him, and they gave him an opportunity. He was in 4 spring trainings, batted 151, 1 home run in 34 spring games. There was even, they flirted, the Mets were bad 1 year, really bad, and they flirted with promoting him, but even they couldn't do it from a credibility standpoint of promoting him to the big leagues because he hadn't earned it. He just wasn't good enough, but this guy's been given more chances and more opportunities than anybody, and I think they were unwarranted. Was he a great college football player, Doug? Yes, at Florida. Was a part of 2 championship teams. He won a Heisman Trophy. I'll never take away his college career, but it doesn't mean you're going to have a career in the NFL and definitely not Major League Baseball. It's just very hard, And most guys who were away from the game for 10 years would have never been given a spot. He was never on the 40-man roster, but never a major league, minor league spot. And his brightest shining moment was his first instructional league at bat. He hits a home run against the St. Louis Cardinals. People go crazy. You remember he had a number one selling jersey in baseball for a hot minute, right, when he signed with the Mets. But other than that, it was a lot of fluff, no real stuff.
No, he's not a baseball player, and you can't.
And he wasn't a football player either. He wasn't a quarterback. The sport is,
no, and I also think that I don't think it's one of those things where it's like there's nuance to everything here, right? It's like if I say he had bad feet as a quarterback, you're like, wait a second, he ran a 4.6. Like, yeah, but it's a completely different type of athleticism needed within the pocket in terms of having nimble feet. He actually had bad feet and bad footwork, and that's one reason that he couldn't evolve as a passer. He didn't read a defense, right? He wasn't seen as a terribly bright dude that could come in and really the offense that he was capable of running in the NFL was very, very simple. And it was basically one read. If you don't like it, tuck and run the football. That said, he did win a playoff game somehow. They did have that crazy, miraculous season, which most of them were against bad teams, right? And he would get credit for it. Was the Tim Tebow was getting credit for putting out a fire that you started, right? Like,
right,
wow,
right.
They had a great comeback. Three and a half
bad quarters, right? And then there would be this drive where he gets them. In field, I remember their kicker kicked like a 68-yard field goal to win the game. And guess who the camera was on after
Tim
the kick?
Tebow, right?
Tim Tebow. He got him in position.
There was brilliance to it in that the style of football that they used, okay, was, I mean, it's the Ravens are just a much better version of it, right? You have the best kicker in football. They had the best kicker in football. You got a great defense. And when you run the football a ton, you shorten the game. Fewer possessions allows your defense to be even more aggressive. The problem is when you get behind, you'll get some zone coverage and get some underneath stuff. But by design, you want to get ahead and shorten the game. And it worked for a short period of time. Obviously, the Ravens are a much better version, and they're much more invested in it. Lamar Jackson's a much better thrower. But it's the same idea and same kind of game plan and style of football.
Lamar was a unanimous MVP. Tim Tebow wasn't.
Right, look, Tim Tebow can't throw a football. Lamar can, but Lamar has things that are holding him back in terms of the volume of throws. And they need to go get him a better wide receiver. Like, no free agent's going to sign there. They don't throw the football enough. So they have to draft one. And when you draft, it's very much hit or miss whether or not the guy is going to be a star wide receiver, especially when you have other holes on your football team you need to fill. Do you fill one with a wide receiver? So it's a big question. Like, look, Eddie Royal left the Denver Broncos after they won the playoffs. Why? Because he couldn't get enough balls. He went to San Diego at the time. There's a limiting factor to it. But I wouldn't say it's a bust. I don't know.
Why is he not? Did he didn't live up to anything. He was a first round pick in the NFL, right? I thought he was
overdrafted. Would be fair.
Okay, if you want to say that, but somebody had expectations. They gave him they had expectations for this guy, and he didn't live up to any of them. And he got a lot of love, and a lot of opportunities. Would if it was anybody else rather than Tim Tebow, a guy that people like. And guy they thought, would they have been given that baseball opportunity? Probably not.
I don't know. I mean, I think Johnny Manziel would have gotten a similar baseball opportunity. You know, a lot of these guys would have. So I'm going to, like, why is it such a sinister thing that he was bringing attention to minor league baseball that we don't pay any attention to?
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. That's not.
What do you mean? Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because that's not going to
matter. We've had
minor league baseball. Nobody. You know what? You can talk about all you want. Oh yeah. Well, Tim Tebow's on. Please show me the data that Tim Tebow changed minor league baseball.
But you just said that for a period of time he had the best selling jersey in baseball.
I get that, but ultimately
you said tell me the data. there's your data that he was super popular.
No, but my
attention.
Point is,
any amount of attention to minor league baseball, which is dying right now, and it has been dying for years, and COVID's only made worse. Okay, any attention is good attention. Okay, it actually is a genius. I'm in the cost benefit analysis. I'm sure the Mets got way more out of it, and all their minor league franchises got way more out of it. And so do the competition. If it gets five people to come to the park, then it's a win because there's nobody else. There's no other names in minor league baseball. You're simply trying to go and find out and learn about a guy that maybe someday becomes a player.
If that's what you want to hang your hat on, fine. But as far as credibility of an organization, you just can't be doing that to try to sell tickets. And even the Mets didn't do it. I give them credit. When they had a chance to bring Tebow up, and maybe sell some extra ducats and get people to tune into a bad team. They didn't do it because you hurt your franchise and your credibility by putting people who don't deserve it. Making it to the major leagues is a real deal, and you shouldn't be jumping over people who have put in their time and effort and really made tried to do what they needed to do to get to that next level. And just because he's a popular guy and people like him and they know him because he was a college football star, shouldn't be the reason why he didn't play well enough.
Why are you so? He's retiring. Why does Tim Tebow bother you so much?
Because he got opportunities that I don't think even at the college
who
football.
Else? Wait, who else?
I want to say
what
like,
other Heisman Trophy winner hasn't gotten opportunities?
Like a Charlie Ward had no place in the NFL, and all of a sudden they were going to make room and do whatever they could to utilize a guy who couldn't throw the football. There were plenty of black quarterbacks, especially I just gave you Charlie Ward won a Heisman. He wasn't even drafted. All right, and
wait a second.
He wasn't.
Hold on. This is the problem, Rob. First of all, how old is Charlie Ward? What year was Charlie Ward?
That doesn't matter. He was
yes,
a Heisman Trophy winner. No, nope.
Yes, it absolutely does.
They bent over backwards for Tim Tebow, and he wasn't worth it. He wasn't good enough. They told us that's the style of football they weren't going to play in pro set.
Wait, when he wasn't good enough, he got cut. That's what happened to any of these quarterbacks. Right, you don't think Vince Young got opportunities he shouldn't have gotten because of he was a superstar at Texas?
Of course he did. You think
Vince Young and Tim Tebow are the same guy in the NFL? Only
no,
Tim
I'm
Tebow
asking you in college, coming out of college, they're the same right. guy. Come on, Doug, they're not.
Vince Young
was going to be drafted higher.
He was
than a Tim
higher.
Tebow.
That, he was, and he flamed out just like Tebow did.
Yeah, but flame it out once you get there. But I'm talking about
what are you
Denver,
talking about? It's
Denver moving up for Tim Tebow, giving up three picks on draft night. Nobody saw that. Nobody.
Again, here's what you're doing. Okay, you're taking the criticism of the NFL and, in your opinion, the treatment of black quarterbacks for years, and saying that Tim Tebow is the perfect example. That's bull, dude. You know it's bull. It's not true. Okay, all these good college quarterbacks have gotten opportunities, and if they're good, they stick, and if they don't, they go home. Okay, that's the way it works. Okay, there's from the Dennis Dixons to the Vince Youngs to the you pick the quarterback, it doesn't matter. We're critical of these guys. A lot of them get overdrafted regardless of skin color, right? I mean, hell, Jamarcus Russell's the number one overall pick. He didn't flame out of the NFL.
He was a bust. Tebow was a bust.
But he wasn't the number one overall pick. Again,
no,
but you're criticizing
that
the opportunities he's gotten.
Was he a bust? Yes or no, Doug? He wasn't a bust? What was he?
I don't think he was ever as good as the Tebow time thing, but I don't understand the piling on over he had a bad... He wasn't as good as a first-round pick, but he did start and win a playoff game. So it's a really hard one because I agree with you. He wasn't a good quarterback. I agree with you. He probably should have switched positions. Okay. But the idea that he got what you're saying without saying is
no, I'm saying it.
So why did he get the opportunities? Because people liked him. Right?
Because people liked him, yes. Okay. And I don't
life
think
is a popularity contest on some level, whether you like it or not. Shouldn't be. And then it becomes a meritocracy once you get into the NFL, right? That's how it works.
Yeah.
If you're good enough, you stick. And if you don't, you go home.
It's the same thing. People now will paint this, oh, he gave it the old college try, and Tim Tebow, and now, yeah, you know, I'm retiring because I'm being pulled in all these different directions. No, you're not. You're not good enough. That's why okay. you're retiring. Not because there's other things that you want to do. You're not good enough. You're not going to make the major leagues. You weren't good enough in the NFL. That's all. Why can't we be real and talk about Tim Tebow in real terms? He failed in the NFL. He failed in the minor leagues and Major League Baseball. That's all I'm saying, Doug. Let's stop sugarcoating it and call it what it is. He failed as a professional athlete two times over. That's all I'm saying.
I guess I don't understand the vitriol towards Tim Tebow in particular.
It's not. I do it to everybody. Have you heard me talk about Tom Brady? Have you heard me talk about Steph Curry? Okay.
The idea that Tom Brady somehow is like the luckiest guy of all time.
He's the luckiest of all time.
Okay, he's been in 10 Super like everybody
That's
else.
Rob Parker.
Yeah, there's one that's like, you're literally alone on an island. There is not a single human being on earth that agrees with you. But that's okay. But again, the point is more, did he achieve what a first-round draft pick should achieve as a quarterback? No. Okay. But he did start. He did win a playoff game. He achieved more than a lot of other guys did. I never thought he was an NFL quarterback. I agree with you, but I don't have any sort of vitriol towards him trying baseball and kind of hyping up, making people come to minor league games for whatever reason they wanted to come and see Tim Tebow, and it didn't work out. I also have a great amount of respect for guys that, you know, it's only crazy until it happens, right? And I don't have any sort of vitriol towards Tim Tebow. I just don't. He hung him up. Professional sports is really, 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 really hard.
Why do you think he's stepping aside from baseball? Why?
Because at some point you go like, I can't do it. It's hard. hard. It's not fulfilling. I also think minor league baseball, they're cutting teams left and right. I think there's a myriad of reasons to it. But you're not wrong for saying, that he's not good enough at professional baseball. I don't necessarily know if I would do the he's a failure. His OPS was like 667, which is not terrible. He's not a terrible minor league baseball player. He's just not good enough to make the pros because professional baseball is really, really, really hard.
Right.
You can't stick in the NFL because it's really, 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 really hard.
To hit a baseball, right? It just is.
It's crazy hard. Yes. Crazy hard. And you don't know where it's going. You don't know if it's strike or ball. It's coming in. You have a split-second decision, and he took a decade off from doing it. Speaking of baseball, the Padres had an incredible offseason. But does this usurp what the Dodgers did?
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Doug Gottlieb and Rob Parker in for Dan the Danettes, the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. It feels like a yearly occurrence, right, where we're just minding our own business, getting ready for baseball season, and then some young player signs a contract which kind of blows the previous ones out of the water in terms of years length. Last year, it was Mike Trout, right?
Yep.
We had the Trout deal, the Bryce Harper deal. We've had some of these deals. Yesterday, it was the Fernando Tatis deal. Now, Tatis, of course, has only played two seasons, really, 140-some-odd games, I think 142 games in his entire career. And if you know how baseball works, you're arbitration eligible in your fourth and fifth year as a player. And then, of course, by your sixth year, you can become an unrestricted free agent. So you're not making much until you hit the years four and years five. But the Padres are like, the hell with that. Let's give him $10 million up front. That's what the signing bonus was. And then backload everything and slowly work our way into a big boy contract. And that's the deal. What does it mean for the Padres? What does it mean for baseball? What does it mean in the NL West? Let's welcome in Dennis Lynn, Padres reporter for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Dennis T. Lynn. He joins us in the Dan Patrick Show, presented by Mercedes-Benz AMG. Dennis, What's your reaction, though, to signing this deal now, that the Padres chose now to lock him up long-term so early in his career?
Well, I'm not surprised that it happened now. They've been talking about this for quite a while now. Tatis expressed a lot of interest early on in trying to stay in San Diego long-term. I am surprised, however, by the scope, just the magnitude of the deal. Again, like you said, he's played about 140 games in the majors, and now he just got the longest contract in Major League history at 14 years. I mean, I think he was about 14. If you're talking about the length of his deal, he was 14 years old when A.J. Preller, Padres general manager, first saw him in the Dominican. So you just think about that, it's kind of crazy. But I think baseball is, you know, pushing toward this, toward paying younger players in their prime when they're still productive. And that's probably going to show up in the next CBA this coming winter. So we'll see how much of an effect this deal has the rest of the market. But for Tatis, it's a major win for sure.
Tatis Jr. has taken, in just two seasons, baseball by storm. I mean, he is has the swag. He plays defense. He hits home runs. I mean, are people in San Diego and just are they just thrilled? Like the Padres, they went out, they signed Machado to that big deal. People thought they were crazy. And look at what they put together. And then all the offseason moves with bringing pitching to that team. Where's the expectation level now for the Padres?
It's higher than it's ever been. The Dodgers are still the Dodgers, which is a really formidable obstacle that's always going to be there. But the Padres wouldn't have gone out and done all this offseason, including now this. I know this is more long-term, but they think they can win the division or else they wouldn't have done this. I know a lot of people are saying they're going to still be competing for, you know, second place or a wild card.
I think they can win the division. I really do. The Dodgers have won it 8 years in a row, and I know they got Bauer. But the Padres last year, Doug, I don't know if you noticed, only two teams scored more runs than the Padres last year. And it was the Rays and the Dodgers who were in the World Series. So they were right there. They have an offense, and they added three stud starters to their rotation.
Yeah, look, I get it all. I don't understand why you want to do this so early. I guess the other question is 14 years. Like, look, the dude's a total badass, right? Clearly, he's got some swag. It's just there's a different gait to his walk. There's a coolness to it, no question. Are we sure though that he's going to be as invested, Dennis, 10 years into a deal as he is in year one?
That's an interesting question. I think he was always of the mind this is going to happen for him eventually, and there's no opt outs in this deal. There's a full no trade clause, so he's not going anywhere, and he already got paid, like you said, possibly too early in the opinion of a lot of people in baseball. But, yeah, he's talked for a long time about wanting to be a transcendent star, not just in baseball, but just, sports in general, inspiring people to play baseball. So I think, you know, you have to win a World Series to really capture that full potential. So I do think he's intrinsically motivated to do that, and that's why the Padres felt so comfortable doing this deal.
You know what's crazy about this whole thing? The Padres fans, you know, since they opened Petco, they haven't really been competitive, right?
Now it's a great ballpark.
It's amazing, right? It's amazing. I mean, like, the reason the Chargers left was they wanted Petco for football, right?
Right.
we already got Petco. Anyway, you haven't been able to see this team. Right, that's the crazy part. Financially, Dennis, does it work for the Padres? It's a smaller market. This is their second long-term, huge money deal. Is it going to work financially for the team?
Well, essentially, they're betting that if they're spending a lot of money now, when a lot of teams are kind of going in the opposite direction, and like you said, this market's pretty unique. No football team anymore, of course, and they do have a pretty strong advertising revenue from Petco and everything else that goes into that. They think that if this works out, they do win a World Series or contend for World Series in the next couple of years, they will get, you know, a major windfall when fans come back to the ballpark, whenever that is, and people are, you know, turning their attention to Fernando Tatis Jr., possibly the best player in the sport.
How about the pitching that they picked up? Blake Snell, Yu Darvish, and Joe Musgrove. I mean, they picked up all those three guys. Obviously, Clevenger's not going to pitch this year. He's on the shelf. How do you like their rotation and what they did?
Yeah, I think it was perfect for what they're looking for. These guys are under control for 2-3+ years, and then can't forget about Nelson Lamet, who was a Cy Young contender last year. Chris Paddock's another guy who's probably going to be the number five in this rotation, and he was just starting on opening day this past season. So they are as deep as any rotation of the game. The Dodgers might still be able to claim the edge there, but it's going to be a long season. You're going to need a lot of arms, and they've got a few Cy Young contenders, it looks like.
Yeah, it does feel a little bit like keeping up with the Joneses, though, right? Like, oh, you signed who? Yep. Oh, get what? Watch this. The difference is the Dodgers have their own network, and they can kind of print money more so than the Padres, right? That therein kind of lies the biggest rub.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Padres' media revenue is pretty fixed, like any club, but it's a lot smaller than the Dodgers. So they're really banking on attendance, and we'll see if COVID-19 permits that in 2021, but they feel pretty good that in 2022, maybe they'll be drawing 3 million.
Yeah, listen, I mean, you go to the Gasland District, you have a great time, you see a great park, and now you're going to see a great team. Dennis, thanks so much for joining us, getting up early with us here
and
on the
Dennis,
West Coast. Yeah, go ahead.
I want you to remember, I'm picking the Padres to win the NL West, okay? Remember I said it.
I like it. That's bold like AJ Preller is.
Okay. No doubt.
Thanks, Dennis. Rob, I guess this, like, okay, so there's only one possible reason you don't like the Dodgers, and that's closer, right? Is there anything else you don't like that about the Dodgers?
Oh, yeah, no, they got a great lineup.
Is this just your way of giving praise to the Padres?
I love what the Padres did. I think they were, I think the Dodgers, like I said, they won it 8 years in a row. It's hard to keep that up, and I know it looks like it because they actually added two pitchers this year. Because remember, Price didn't pitch last year. He opted out for COVID, Doug. So Price joins the rotation. And Trevor Bauer, who won the National League Cy Young Award. So on paper, yes, you can look at it, and the Dodgers are the favorite on paper. But we know things don't always play out that way. There's something about the Padres. I like what they did last year. I think that, and then coming back with what they added to their rotation. Their offense, I think their lineup is better than the Dodgers. I do.
Yeah, I mean, it goes hand in hand, right? You got to have the pitchers, you got to have the pitching and the hitting, and obviously they addressed the pitching as well as the hitting this year. The other part what's going to be interesting about that is will it resonate? Will people care? Right? It does for the Padres. The Dodgers are our rival. For the Dodgers, they're like, yeah, it's kind of the Giants. You're kind of the little brother. It's not really it's not the mutual respect that there probably should be. There's actually an adversarial relationship between the two, which I think is good for the sport.
Absolutely. And I think, I don't know, did the Dodgers respond to the Padres, to be honest, Doug? And I know they're not looking at the Padres, you know, they made the playoffs for the first time in like 15 years or whatever it was. So, you know, they're in different classes, but when they made all the moves they made, the Dodgers responded by giving Trevor Bauer, whose career record is, you know, 10 games over 500 in his career, making him the highest paid player in baseball for a season.
Yeah, but it's a short-term deal.
It feels
like a smarter deal for baseball, especially for a pitcher.
No doubt. It's a 3-year deal, but he's going to make, what is he making, $40-something million? I mean, it's a lot of money, but I think they responded a little bit. I do. I think they wanted to add a pitcher for sure, but to get Trevor Bauer was a major move by the Dodgers.
You know, the other part that's fascinating is that for a long time there are people, and if we want to do the humble brag thing, I was like the first guy to go on radio. I did it on my show. I did it on Colin's show, and I said, like, Kyler Murray should play football. And this is, you go back into, like, I think October of his final season at Oklahoma, and I said he should play football. And the logic behind it was, like, everybody thinks of baseball and you think of these, you know, 5 or 6 $300 million plus contracts, okay? But the couple things you have to factor in is, one, yeah, there's a greater number of baseball players and a fewer number. There's either the haves or the have-nots, right? Whereas he's a quarterback, so he's always going to be a have. The other part is that in baseball, your first 4 years, generally, you don't make anything. I like Mike Trout. They reworked his deal. I think he made total like $3 or $4 million his first 4 years in Major League Baseball. So yes, he's going to end up making $400 million at the end of. But in terms of the short term, when you're trying to prove yourself, you know. So, you know, like look, Tom Brady's been doing it for almost 20 years. He's made over $250 million. Like the money is actually going to be as good or greater in football. It's just no one's going to get a, outside of Pat Mahomes, I guess, the longer term deal. This contract changes it a little bit. It does change the math a little bit because he's getting it so much earlier in his professional baseball life.
No doubt. This is uncharted waters. This is different. And other players are you know, have to wait, Doug, to be paid. And the clubs normally don't do it. This is definitely a change, and this will be interesting. And you know what? I'm all for the. I think the Padres did the right thing, and I think obviously Tatis was smart to take you. Somebody offered you $340 million guarantee. I don't know what the question is. Where's the pen? Or I'll cut my finger and sign in blood if there's no pen in the room.
But I think the question does become, like, at what point is it enough, right? Like, I know that everybody wants to make, like, the Padres sale on this one is longer than anybody else's, right? So at what point is, like, if it was $200 million, you really going to turn it down? They said, hey, we're going to give you 10 years, 200. Would you really turn it down? I mean, I guess you'd be smart to do so, but would you really turn down $200 million? Like, look, yeah, we're going to offer you $200 million, or we'll keep you in the same contract for a couple of years and maybe offer you more.
Yeah, but
how much money is enough?
I get it, but you would still, $200 million, you would be selling yourself way short.
You would, but I understand what you're saying. Right. I just, at what point do you, are you sitting there going like, you know, I would have done it for $200. I would have done it for $225. Of course, everybody would have. You know, like, just that amount of money is FU money, and at some point it becomes monopoly money. All right, coming up next, Rob Parker, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan the Danettes. The NBA, big game in the NBA tonight with the Nets taking on the Lakers. Right, we'll see who's going to play.
I want to know
Lakers.
How much you do you like the Nets?
We'll get into that. We'll get into the All Nets, right. And I'm we'll also get into that. This discussion about NBA players and the very simple solution that is out there so that they can go back to their regularly scheduled lives, right? To change some of these COVID restrictions. And they're getting pushback from star players on it. We'll get to that upcoming next in the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Doug Gottlieb, Rob Parker, in for Dan and the Danettes here on the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio, presented by Mercedes AMG. Rob, have you gotten the vaccine yet?
Not yet, but I would like to get it.
Because you're like sneaky old, right? Like you're actually 72 years old,
not,
aren't you?
Not that old, Doug, but most people don't believe I'm 57. I'm 57 years old, been doing this 35 years. I'm proud to be 57.
Okay, so for people who don't understand that in the black community, the apprehension over vaccine, like this comes from you know, like 50, 60 years ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, there were things done to black people that, you know, people don't forget and are leery of taking these shots and not knowing whether it's in the best interest or that people want to do right by black people. So I think there are people in the community who still feel that way, even though it was a long time ago. I might not feel that way, but I do understand why some people feel that way. I want to live, so I'll take the precaution. Yes, was the vaccine rushed and not normally taken as long as Doug, that these things do, you know, the FDA takes forever and all these government
Operation Warp Speed, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, we get it. This was quicker. But this was something that we saw the numbers. I don't know how many people we have to lose. I've lost people. You know, it's touched me. I don't want to get it. Knock on wood. I'm trying to do everything I can to prevent it. But I do understand. I'm not going to sit here and act like everybody should, with open arms, should just take the vaccine and are fine. I was vaccinated as a kid. I'm fortunate that I was vaccinated as a kid. You know, to stop all the other diseases that, Doug, you know now, have come back because so many people don't want to vaccinate their kids. You know that. There's a whole movement in this country. So it's not just black people.
Yes, but I think the troubling part to it is that the numbers, the COVID numbers, disproportionately have affected the black community.
No doubt.
And now you have NBA players that are apprehensive, and I feel like it's out of... What happens is you get a limited amount of information on it, right? Like you just do. Like, yes, was it run through the length of time in which it took to get approved was a lot faster than normal. It was. There's also multiple vaccines, and these vaccines are different. They're not live vaccines, right? So, but here's the big thing. If you don't want to be vaccinated, like, what was the game plan? Like, what was your, tell me what your game plan was for this thing.
You have no idea.
Right.
There is no other game plan other than there's a chance you could get it and spread it to your family members or your grandparents or everything. I'll give you a perfect example. When Hank Aaron died, Hank Aaron was, Doug, 86? Mm-hmm. Larry King was 87. 86? So what did people say as soon as Hank Aaron died? Did you remember?
No.
He had the vaccine like 2 weeks earlier. Oh, see, Hank Aaron's gone. And I'm like, he was 86. Larry King, from what I know, didn't have the vaccine. And guess what? He died the next day at 87. So if you want to use that if somebody took the vaccine, it killed Hank Aaron, and that's the propaganda or whatever you want to put out there, but that's the stuff that you're fighting. Is that every time something in a negative way happens, they go, see, this is what I'm saying. This is why I won't do it. But it's the history of what black people went through in this country that people haven't forgotten and won't let go of.
I understand, but that's where there's a greater cause for, and it's supposedly some of the bigger name players that don't want to put their name on a PSA in case something goes wrong. That's really what it is. And, you know, It's the opposite of what they should be doing. Like there's a way in which all this stuff can be sold to people, and so they can understand. Like we understand what had happened years ago. That's not what happens here, and I don't know how you build any trust up if you don't have the voices that you need, and the voices that you need are popular black athletes, entertainers, politicians, musicians, business people saying like, look, this is it. It's going to work. It's going to save your life. It's not going to harm your life.
Right.
And nope. I think this is it again. It's part of the idea of a lot of guys. And it's not. And by the way, this is not solely about NBA players. It's just about a lot of guys in their 20s know a little bit of something about something, but don't invest enough time to learn a lot about something. I was that way when I was 20. I was 25, 26, whatever, the exact same way. But it's like a greater calling when you're a basketball player. People listen to you, and they need you to listen to you that they need to get this vaccine.
Yeah, it's a tough spot. You can't make people do it. You know, like people have to be into it. And I'm just to put my cards on the table.
Yeah.
I was asked to... Would I be interested in being a public person, you know, Doug, with my profile in the black community to have the vaccine and talk about it and the importance of it?
And I
didn't get to do it. You know, it didn't work out, or it hasn't worked out to that point, but I was absolutely open to do it because I would like to let people know that I would do it. And I think it's important. And we're trying to save lives. And I'm not to say that everything is perfect and there won't be any side effects. I don't know all that. But can it save lives, especially in the black community? Absolutely. And I'm all for that. I want to live. Remember the Star Trek, Captain Kirk?
Yes.
I want to live. I want to live. I want to live, Doug. I do.
Rob Parker.
I do. I think the easy was like, look, I do doctors and scientists make mistakes? Sure. But you have all these companies that have gone through all these trials. I'm gonna take them, not some story I read on the arbitrary story I read on the internet or a doctor's actual word for it. Speaking of the NBA, so tonight we kind of got a little bit of a showdown. The problem is that you're not gonna have Anthony Davis. I don't know what's gonna
look like. Or Durant, right? I mean, I'm bummed out.
Did you see Kyrie's walking stick that he had the other day?
No, I did not.
Yeah, he's got a walking stick.
Oh, he's a baller, man. I mean, ever since he's come back, he's just played, right? I mean, you remember it was a lot of.
We didn't play the other night because he had a bad back, right? Look, that's the problem with Kyrie Irving is Kyrie can really play.
Yep.
All this other stuff doesn't matter if he can't play. The problem is, dude can really, really play. So, where are you on the Nets when fully formed, when fully healthy?
I love them. I think they're going to the NBA Finals. I think they're going to add, Doug, a piece or two, a big man, rim protector. Maybe they get Andre Drummond or somebody else once some of these other teams fall out of contention and decide that they're done, you know, and they're going to move on from some players. I just think when you have three guys like that, I think when the three have played, they're averaging 80 points. And when Durant, Clay, and Steph the most they ever averaged was 75. You know basketball better than I did. You play it at a high level. It's hard to stop three offensive guys like that. And I get the defense. No one thinks that they have to dig in and be some defensive juggernaut. You got to be able to make stops in big situations, and you got to make people earn, you know, stay in front of them. But other than that, I like them a lot coming out of the East. Where are you?
You know, like, look, I mean, obviously the defense is an issue. Okay, the defense is without any question an issue. And you can hide one guy. Can you hide two? Because that's really what it comes down to. Offensively, I mean, it was pretty obvious to most people that James Harden was going to be the facilitator, point guard, whatever. And Kyrie.
He's played great in that role.
He's played really well. No, I mean, that's his more. Like, it's one of the things about James Harden is I hated watching him play in Houston and how he overhandled the ball and over dribbled the ball. But I had incredible amount of respect for what he would do eventually when he would play, right? Is that he will pass. He does get to the rim. He can. He has an incredible offensive package. So that all, to me, works together. The offense is not the problem. The problem is that, you know, there's a reason the cliche is defense wins championships, and this team lacks any sort of defensive identity other than you hope DeAndre Jordan and Kevin Durant can meet you at the rim, right? That's...
But
I agree.
You know they're going to add a piece.
They added Andre Robertson, but we don't know what he has left in the tank, right? If Andre Robertson, when healthy, is a non-offensive player, but a great defensive player, but he hasn't been healthy in years. So, yes. Do I think they'll add another rim protector? Yes. But in order for them to be them, you got to have those three guys out on the floor, probably with a Joe Harris and with a DeAndre Jordan. And is the offense enough? I think it'd be interesting. Right, the NBA is transitioned the way the NFL has into a much more of an offensive league. But the Lakers won the championship last year because of their defense. This would be completely counter to that.
Yeah, not the same defense though without Dwight Howard. They got some issues there too, and JaVale McGee, Gasol.
Played well the other night. Gasol played. He's washed up until the other night. He played probably his best game of the year against the Timberwolves. Granted, it's just the Timberwolves. He has to be healthy. They have to be right. I mean, without Anthony Davis, it's impossible to judge exactly what they look like.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I like it. I'm going to pick the Nets and the Clippers in the NBA Finals, though. That's my pick.
The Nets and the Clippers. Don't think there's anything wrong with picking the Clippers. I think the Clippers are right there as well. He's Rob Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb. Of course, I knew you would go into LeBron. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.